Many of you have heard me say that I was an airplane mechanic in the service, but actually my study of aircraft mechanics began in high school. I was a Vo-Tech student. I didn't take college prep courses because I knew I would never go to college. I was wrong on that one. But one of the things I did when becoming an airplane mechanic is during the summers I worked at a small airstrip, a very small airport, where the owner was not only did he own airplanes, he was also a mechanic and he was also an instructor pilot. And I had opportunities to work for him and work with him in order that I can earn enough money to have flying lessons. And it was very exciting, very interesting and all, but eventually I found that the mechanics was more interesting to me. But one of the things that you learn when you learn how to fly these single-engine aircraft is that you train yourself just in case the engine goes out for some reason. It might be mechanical. It might be fuel. It might be the filter. Who knows what it might be? It might be even icing. But it can go out at any unexpected time. So one day when I was flying at a certain altitude and heading in a certain direction, my instructor, sitting to my right side, reached over and pulled back the throttle. So the engine appeared to have died. The propeller just kept flapping there. There was no power to it. And the airplane was immediately put to a glide. And I instantly knew that I had to find a place where to land. When that happens, you might end up landing on a beach. You might end up landing on a road. Hopefully there's no trees or telephone poles to the side. Or you may end up at an open field. And so quickly, without panicking, I quickly looked and found an empty field that had nothing but grass on it. And I lined up the airplane coming in for landing in case I needed to. And then suddenly about 25 feet off the ground, the instructor reached over again, pushed the throttle forward in order to take off again. My impression was he thought I did a pretty good job. Didn't say anything about it, but when we reached altitude again, cruising altitude, I turned to him and said, "Well, how did I do?" He said, "You did pretty good, but it would have been better if you tried to land at the airstrip across the road." After my first mass last night, somebody asked me, "Well, did you get your pilot's license?" And I said, "No, and I'm here today to prove it." But one of the things that I, for this homily today, is meant to talk about is finding direction. And it's sort of flavored by last week and this weekends when I was hearing confessions. And I'm very pleased to hear the confessions here at both here and at St. Mary's churches, because I get the sense in this area that the people appreciate them. They just don't go through a regular routine, but they try to, in their own individual way, try to eke out something that is good about this extra blessing, this extra grace from God. And in doing so, it makes it very easy for me to listen to these confessions. But not only is there this sense of appreciation, but I'm also kind of sparked in the sense that the idea is that after hearing so many good confessions, I thought, I need to go to confession myself. But we are, as I said at the beginning of Mass, we are a pilgrim people. And we have a tendency as individuals, like the lost sheep, or as a group, we stray off path. And we need to get back on track to reset our goals. Because the idea of, say, confession is more than just marking the individual sins. But why do we wish to move those, to have the sins forgiven? So we go and reestablish our relationship with our loving Lord and God. It's what we want. Hopefully that's what we want. And in a sense, with the three scriptures that we heard today, I got a sense of that as well. a certain path in the scriptures. The first one that I paid attention to was the gospel. It was very evident that Jesus told us about sin, not only the action, but sins of the heart. And he also taught us to help to keep things simple. Say yes to yes and no to no. But don't clutter it. Don't rationalize it. Don't confuse it, because that can lead certainly to waywardness, leading us off path. And sometimes we're very mindful of that, but we underestimate the penalties. And then the second reading that I caught attention to would be the book of Sirach, the first one that we heard today, in which Sirach, that teacher, went ahead and was basically quoting what Moses said some thousand years before. And Moses himself told people, the people of Israel, still on their way to the promised land, but freed from Egypt. And he said, you have a choice today to either choose life or death. So choose life. And the people said amen to that. So yes, we have a choice. But not making a choice, which happens at times, leads us in the way of saying, making the choice that we won't say yes. Very dangerous indeed. But the third one points at the scriptures that St. Paul is addressing these Corinthians. He started that community, scholars tell us, but he was very much aware of these people. Both of his letters were very lengthy and talking about very practical but meaningful things. In today's reading, we hear something about not only the wisdom of the Greeks, but he compared it to the wisdom of God. But also, as a key word I found in there, is the word mystery. St. Paul uses the word mystery. And what it is that through wisdom that we acquire, just not automatically given to us, but if we seek that wisdom, God will give it. But what it is that we observe this mystery. And again, this mystery is different than a self-made confusion or other types of confusion, but in a way that we ponder it, we hold it in awe, and then the mystery reveals itself through our personal holiness, not an accomplishment, but the grace of God, but also linked to our desires, that personal goal in which we seek the Lord, and the Lord wishes to reveal him. He doesn't want to overwhelm us with his love, but he does want to give his love out to those who seek it. So, in one way, it made me think of this, and this is something that happened to me in the Air Force when I went in for some survival training, but it wasn't the type that, what do you do when you're in a foxhole or in a ditch, but rather, what do you do when you're up 10,000, 20,000, 30,000 feet or more in the air in an aircraft? That's an artificial environment that is there to that is made, when it works right, to protect you. And so one demonstration given to us was that a class of about a dozen people were there and being addressed by a lieutenant colonel. And he himself was telling us that he said, I'm going to turn off the lights in a minute. And as soon as he did, the room was completely dark. No windows, and the lone door to the room was all behind us. We couldn't see anything. And then all of a sudden, in the corner room where we thought the corner of the room was, there was a red light that came on. And he said, now that light is going to move. And you tell me in which direction it's moving. And I remember being quiet, but I wasn't sure which way it was moving, but at times I had my guesses. But all the other people in the room kept saying, it's going up, and no, it's going to the right, you know. Nope, now it's going down, and so on and so forth. And they were trying to follow that dot and to describe it. And then the lights came on, and this lieutenant colonel said to us, that light never moved at all. We were disoriented in a sense that, yes, while the light was stable, our own impressions were not. So hence, what we do need to recognize is that sin that actually blurs our vision towards authentic love and also truth. What sin does, it helps to lose sight of the Lord. It leads us to lose sight of the Lord. And why is that? Well, you can imagine many ways. But one way we need to look at is that what does the Lord desire for us? And one is the word grace, a grace that we hear so often, but many of us don't have a proper definition for it. But what grace is that when grace is happening, that's when we're relating to God, and God to, and especially God to us. And that same grace, more and more to us, is what leads us to salvation. It is saving us as well. And so one example of that I believe I give to second graders when they're studying the sacrament of reconciliation, penance, confession, when they're studying that, I have a little skit that I do with all of them. Usually there's about a dozen children, so I set chairs up two by two in the front of the classroom or the space that we have, and I pretend that we're all in a boat. We're all sitting two by two, and I plan ahead with one of the children there, and I said, what you're going to do, and what he does, is that you're going to stand up when everybody's sitting, and then we all act like the boat is rocking back and forth, and the other children say, sit down, sit down, sit down. All of a sudden, bloop, the child falls into the water, and he's splashing, or she is splashing the water about, and then I stand up, and I'm holding a rope, and I said, shall I throw the rope? Shall I throw the rope, give her the rope, give him the rope? And they nod their heads or say yes. So I do it, and I throw the whole rope. Well, they figure out that's not gonna work. So then I take another rope, and I hold on to one end of it and have the children do that and throw the whole rope to the other one. And then I tell the children, well, the child now, they can keep splashing the water, or else they can reach and grab the rope. What do you think the child should do? And of course they nod their heads that the child should grab it. And as we're pulling this person in, it's a very long rope, we also know that what happens is that the child, if they want to, they can not only just hold on, but help to pull themselves in as well. And so that's something like our prayer and our grace to God. So what it is for us to do is that we need to accept the grace of God and to limit the confusions that we do it by sticking to the truth unpointedly, saying yes to yes when you mean yes and no to mean no. But also what we recognize is that God desires to give, he will give, and his giving never ends. May we ponder that as we ponder the mysteries of the Creed.